Well,
God bless you, each one here this morning. I've been looking forward to this, and as Brother Allen reminisced a little bit, I've had to reminisce a little bit too. I got to first be blessed by Bible school 18 years ago, and it did majorly influence my life. And one of my prayers has been, oh God, will you allow me to be a little channel this week of blessing, as you were through other men in the past to me. I long for to be able to be a little channel to you all. Just a quick question. How many of you have one of these? Does everyone have one? Anyone missing one? Who's missing one? A couple missing? Brody, I got a job for you. Can you raise your hand? We'll get one to you. I guess we all have this figured out now. I gave this little handout to you for a couple of reasons. See if I can find one here. It's very simple and very straightforward. If you open it up, on this side is for you to take some notes. And on this side, I would like you, after the message is finished, to, and I wrote at the top, I said, please fill this out on your knees, at least in heart and alone. And my heart in this is, here you can take some notes, and here I want these questions. There's some questions for you to reflect on what we heard and what I shared. And I would like you to answer these questions. And they're the same questions every day, but it's going to be a different message. And so I just give this to you, and I'm going to ask you to fill it out. Those of you who are prolific note takers, you don't have to minimize your notes to this. Take your prolific notes somewhere else, that's fine, but go ahead and fill this in. And those of you who are not note takers, fill it in. All right? Fill it in. This is a little bit of homework. I'm going to ask you later on who all is filling it in, and I really want you to. I want you to stimulate your mind and your heart. Again, if you're prolific, you can write other places, but fill this in. And if you struggle to come up with words to fill it in, it's a good exercise for you too. So either way, I'm going to ask you to fill it in. I'd like to share. Well, can we pray before I begin? I'm just going to jump right in here, but let's pray. Father, you know, some ways I've been looking forward to this, and other ways I've been trembling about this. And so I come and I ask you, will you take my little hand, and I want to put my little hand in your big hand. And I want to hold on, and I ask you, Father, to make this time profitable for these young people. And Lord, I ask you to hold my hand tightly. Lord, help me, Father. Help me, please, to be a profitable channel of your word. And Lord, I also ask you to work in my life. Work in my heart, Father. Work in the hearts of these dear brothers and sisters sitting here. And maybe there's a few who aren't. Do a work, Lord. Make it profitable. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure most of you saw that I titled what I'd like to share, A Life Consumed, what is it here? A Life Consumed with Pursuing Godliness. A life consumed with a pursuit, and that pursuit being godliness. You know, young people, I have a burden on my heart this week. I have a burden on my heart, and I hope you will hear this burden, and I hope you'll listen, and I hope God will use it. You know, there was a young man a few years ago after a Bible school. He made this comment. I didn't realize the Christian life was this serious. And he made that little comment. He said, I didn't realize the Christian life was this serious. And there were a lot of applications that came into his life after that. And one of them was, he smashed his smartphone. Is the answer to A life consumed with pursuing God, smashing a smartphone? Absolutely not. But that was one of the applications, and he realized in his heart, it dawned on him, I have been messing around, and I need to get serious. And that is one of the cries and burdens on my heart that you would pick up as we look at God's Word and we look at, I'd like to share five principles. We'll get to that here in a little bit. Five principles that you will pick up and give you something to put your hands on so that you also will be a life that's consumed. Your life will be a life that's consumed with pursuing godliness. Youth, I'd like you to think about youth. And I realize I'm still a youth myself, barely above youth maybe, but I'm going to term youth in a little different sense here. Youth is this beautiful little stage when physically, mentally, spiritually you're developed, but you haven't yet been given full responsibility, abilities that come on you through whether it's church responsibilities, ministry responsibilities, family responsibilities, wife responsibilities. As of yet, most of those things are off. But you are fully developed, again, physically, mentally, spiritually, and you have this little gap in time. I want to encourage you, I'm going to beg you to use this little gap in time that you have to consume your life with pursuing godliness. And I realize this applies for outside of this little gap of youth, but I want you to realize, I'd like you to get a glimpse that this little gap that I'm calling youth here, before too much responsibility, marriage, family, or whatever else responsibility comes on you, but after you have become an adult, is this beautiful little opportunity to pursue God with all you have. God met me at Bible school about 18 years ago, was the first one, and subsequent years, and it changed my life. It started affecting my life. And I trust it's still affecting my life, and I long for this week to also be a life changer for you. I remember after either my first or second Bible school, walking up the steps, got to the door of my room, and I opened the door, I walked in, I shut the door, walked over beside my desk, the desk my father had made me. I took my Bible, I usually do, I don't remember if I did that exact time, put it on the floor, and I got down on my knees, put my head, my hands, and I said, God, please make this place a sanctuary. God, please make this place a sanctuary. You see what had happened. I began to realize that the Christian life was more serious than I had been taking it. I began to realize there was more for me to be had than what I had, and it excited me, and it stirred me, and it motivated me, and I began to become consumed a little bit by little bit with pursuing godliness. Young people, I want that to happen to you. I want your life. I want you to get a vision this week. A couple of burdens on my heart. One of them is to get a vision this week of the lofty heights of this glorious Christian life and what it is and godliness and what can be accomplished and what God can do and what He wants you to be and what He wants you to reflect. And this life that Brother Allen was sharing about flowing in and out of you and your beautiful picture of eternal life. I want you to get a vision for that. And also somehow, if God can give me grace, give you some practical steps to pursue it. So pray. Pray for me. Pray for me and pray for you all. That in each of our hearts will be a stirring. God, please meet with me. God, please change me. I'd like to share five different principles. I have 5 days, and just say that because I have 5 days. I have 20 I'd like to share in a way, but I've narrowed it down to 6, and I still need to narrow down one less, chop off one more down to 5. And I'd like to share these 5 principles as aids in helping you to pursue a life, for your life to become pursuing of godliness. Sorry, you don't need to write anything down. This is all introductory. I haven't gone to my first point yet, but let's go in. Point number one. All right. Principle number one. If you have your booklets, you open it up. Up at the top, there's a title. Here's the title for today. A life consumed with pursuing godliness is the title of all of them together. In your little slot there, title, write, The Changing Power of the New Covenant. The Changing Power of the New Covenant. We have been given a new and glorious covenant. And I want us to meditate on that a little bit today as a foundational principle that must happen in our lives. If our lives are going to be pursuing God and pursuing godliness, there's this foundational principle that must happen in our lives. And it's the core principle of what we call the new covenant. The subtitle, right below that, I want you to write this. Every day I'm going to have a subtitle and it's going to be a principle. It's a very boring subtitle. But it's a principle. And I've tried to encapsulate each of my points, each of the 5 days here, in just 2 or 3 words. The principle today is the principle of the Holy Spirit and fire. That's the subtitle. The principle of the Holy Spirit and fire. I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. You all know this verse? Matthew chapter 3, there's a little verse I want us just to meditate on a little bit. And then we're going to dig into a couple of other passages in Scripture. But Matthew chapter 3, we have John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is out preaching and he's saying, the axe is laid into the root of the trees. And he's saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And John the Baptist is stirring up the people and a lot of people are flocking out to listen to him. And they want to hear what this man, whom they're calling John the Baptist, is saying. And he's preaching and God is using him. And he says in verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. I, John the Baptist, indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. I'm not even worthy to go and to touch his shoes and pick them up and haul them. That's this glorious new thing. He was trying to present this amazing, powerful, beautiful plan, man, God, that was coming. And he says, I'm not even worthy to pick up and carry his shoes. And then he says this, he who is coming shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He who I'm not worthy to carry his shoes shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I've wondered sometimes, I know that the baptism of the Holy Ghost has been taken to an extreme. I realize that and I do not want to go there. But this is one of the core basis principles of this new covenant. And I've had to scratch my head sometimes. When I see people, when I saw myself, or when I saw others, and they just can't get victory over something in their life, and they can't, and they can't, and they can't. And sometimes months, sometimes years go on. And it seems that they've been born anew. But there just doesn't seem to be a lot of power. I've scratched my head and I said, God, do we know what the power of the Spirit of God is in our lives? I've just wondered. Young people, the Spirit of God, when it comes and it fills us, the Spirit of God is a spirit of power and of fire. It motivates us. It changes our desires. It changes our motives. It changes our dreams. It changes our plans. Whenever we've had a baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, I've scratched my head also. As I meet, sometimes you meet people. I remember one young man, I asked him one time, years ago, I asked him, so what is your quest in life? He looked at me and he didn't have a whole lot to say. He wasn't sure what to say. I talked about it. I said, well, you know what I mean by a quest? And I talk about, you know, many times in a life, there's something that people are living for. There's something that motivates them. There's something that drives them. There's something that makes them tick. And I said, that's what I'm calling a quest. And we talked about it a little bit. And I don't know for sure where that young man was at. I don't. But today, I don't want to be where he's at. And I wonder, sometimes I scratch my head, Lord, do we need a fresh baptism of this new covenant? Do we need to realize this new covenant is based upon the principle of the Spirit of God in me, motivating me, firing me? Sometimes when I see the world ensnaring and an enjoyment of the world and an appreciation and a drawing, it makes me wonder, Lord, do we need a baptism fire. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, a fresh one and fire. It started dawning on me. 18 years ago, it started dawning on me. I believe when I came to my first Bible school, I believe that God had saved my soul. I really do. I think He had accepted a simple little prayer as I knelt down beside my bed just a few years before that. And I don't even remember all the words I told God, but God started changing me. He did. But 18 years ago, it started dawning on me how childish I was. How childish my view of the Christian life was. I remember it was in another building after hearing some messages. I would find my way to this little alley. There was this little walkway and I would find my way into this little closet. Make sure nobody was looking. Open this closet door. Go in and close this closet door. And I'd fall on my face and I'd say, God, do it in me. What I just heard out there. What that man just shared. God, do it in me. And I'd cry a while. And then I'd hear, it's time for the next session, and I'd get up, go out, and sit down. After that session, not necessarily everyone, but I'd find my way. And you know, sometimes there were other people in those little closets. And I'd, you know, peek in, oops, back out, and I'd have to go look for another little. I'm sure some of you have experienced that here at Bible school. Praise God for that. But anyway, and so I'd find another little corner, and I'd fall on my face. And as I said already, it began dawning on me how shallow my view of the Christian life was, how little I knew of this new covenant, and I'm still there. I still find myself on my face. I still find little corners, and I say, God, please do that I just heard in me. Young people, that's a little bit what I want this little pamphlet for you to do. Find a little corner. Ask yourself those questions on the second page. The first one's for notes. The second one's to ask yourself questions. Ask yourself these questions and answer honestly. Where am I at? What's God saying? What do I need to change? Remember, a young man came up to me after we had had some meetings for young people. He came up to me and he said, Mick, he wanted to talk, and we went, and you know what we did? We found another little corner. That was that same little corner I'd been blessed with many times. And he said, Mick, I've seen something today that I've seen before, but I always forget. I've seen something today, and we had had a good time, and there were some stirring messages preached, and his heart was blessed and challenged, and his eyes were lifted up to some beautiful principles in the Christian life. And he said, I've seen something today that I've seen before, but I always forget. What do I do? We talked, we prayed. Young people, I want you this week to see something. I want you to see these glorious heights of this new covenant, of this life consumed with pursuing godliness. And I want it to consume you, and I don't want you to forget. I want you to open your Bibles to Hebrews 8. Maybe it was open to Matthew 3 there. Hebrews 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. For if that first covenant, and I realize we're just jumping in the middle, but if there's a little bit of, you'll get a little bit of the context. He's talking about our Lord Jesus and how Christ supersedes the Levitical system. And he said, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Okay, so here we have an old covenant. And, you know, I think we can encapsulate the old covenants. Whoops, I'm mixing up the old and the new here. The old covenant. I'm going to encapsulate it with thou shalt. And thou shalt not. That was a lot. I'm just trying to encapsulate just very briefly this old covenant under Moses that was given to Moses when he was given the Ten Commandments and he was given all the Levitical priesthood and everything was there. There were a tremendous amount of thou shalt and thou shalt not. And if I could just make a reference here, you don't need to turn there. I should have probably printed this out so you didn't have to wait on me here. Deuteronomy 10:16, just listen here. God says in Deuteronomy 10:16, he says, God is speaking to the children of Israel, and he says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. God is pleading with his people. He's saying, circumcise your heart, circumcise yourself. And all the people were living under this old covenant of thou shalt and thou shalt not. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. Then it says, at the end of verse, we're back here in Hebrews 8, not according, verse 9, according to the covenant that I made. He's still talking about this new covenant there. He's starting to talk about this new covenant now. Not according to the covenant that I made with your fathers, this old covenant. I'm going to make a new one, not the one that I made with your fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. Hebrews 8, 9. They continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. So we have the old covenant. We have thou shalt, we have thou shalt not. The problem was this. Continued not. And you know what God says? He said, I found fault. You know, I wouldn't want to say that. But God said it. He found fault. This old covenant of thou shalt and thou shalt not. The people did not continue in it. And so God found fault with that covenant. Let's keep moving here. Verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. And so now God's saying, here is a covenant. And this is a new covenant. We'll see in the verses a little bit later. We have a new covenant. And he starts and he begins. He says, I will. And I have circled in my Bible these I wills. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will. We're still in verse 10 here. Put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Verse 11. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And he goes on. The new covenant. I will. I will. Success. God made this old covenant. And he had some thou shalts and thou shalt nots. And the people didn't continue in them. And God said, I found fault. But young people, he's put together this new covenant. And with this new covenant, he has not found fault. This new covenant has success because God says, I will, I will, I will. And young people, I want you to realize today that the foundation of a life that is pursuing godliness, a life that's consumed with pursuing after God and his principles, must be based upon this new covenant. Where God promises what he will do. He will change us. He will work in us. I want us to turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. In some ways we could go to Jeremiah also. It seems like Hebrews is quoting these Old Testament prophets. And these Old Testament prophets knew that they had found fault. Ezekiel and Jeremiah and others, they knew that under this old covenant, there was a problem. It wasn't, the people were not continuing in what God had given them. And so, they were prophesying now. Here we have the prophets prophesying of this new covenant. And he says, Ezekiel prophesying, verse 23, chapter 36, Ezekiel 36, verse 23, and I will, note the I wills again, talking of the new covenant, I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before his eyes. God's foundational principle, the base reason he came up with a new covenant, the first one we have listed here, was for himself. And did you know that if God had any other reason than a self-centered reason, it would be idolatry? Did you think of that? If God had any other main purpose, if God had any other central reason than himself, it would be idolatry. Right? Because when we put ourselves at the center, it becomes idolatry. We're worshiping ourselves. We're doing what we want. We're supposed to put God in the center. But God is the center, and so He is at the center. And so the very base foundation of this new covenant, it's about me, God is saying. It's about me. I am the center here. Verse 24, He says, I will take you from among the heathen. I will gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. So the first thing He does is He says, I will take you out of an old country and I'll bring you in to a new country that's your land. Have you allowed God to do His work in bringing you out of an old country into a new country? Have you found God causing a separation between you and the old world that you came from? If God has worked a work of redemption in your heart, have you allowed God under this new covenant to take you and separate you from the old and bring you into a union with the new? Or do you find a lot of connection with that old world? Do you find connection with the world and connection with what it has to offer and all these things? God says, if you allow me to do my work in you, I will take you out of the old and bring you into one of your own. And I'll bring you into your own land. Your land. A land that is not of this world. Then, verse 25, will I sprinkle clean water on you and ye shall be clean. Hallelujah. He wants to make us clean, brethren and sisters. He wants to make us clean. Washed. Brother Alan mentioned this morning, walking under Jesus Christ, washing and washing and washing. He says, I'll sprinkle water on you and I'll make you clean. Are you clean from all your filthiness? As Brother Alan shared this morning, if there's still filthiness in there, we're not clean. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. God says, I will bring you out of that. See, that's the beauty. In the past, God, I get the picture of God sitting in heaven. And He's sitting and He's looking down and He says, do this and don't do this, do this and don't do this, do this and don't do this. And in the old covenant, He sat there and He waited and He watched. Did it work? They continued not. We can't do it. We can't do it. So God says, I'm going to make a new covenant. And He says, what I'm going to do is now I'm not leaving you to yourself. I'm going to reach down with my hand, by my Spirit, reach down and I will. God says, I'll do it. And people, He wants to change your life. I know we've heard that many times. But He wants to change who you are. The way you're made up. The way you think. Your motives. Your desires. He wants to change them. He doesn't just want to tell you, don't go here and don't go there. God wants to go inside and do surgery on your heart. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 26, a new heart will I give you. And a new spirit. Young people, He wants to take out, if we go on, take out that old stony heart that just goes the wrong way, that can't do it. And He wants to take out that old heart and He wants to give you a new heart. And all of a sudden, I like prayer meetings. And I love this book. It's beautiful. And, you know, it doesn't matter as much what so-and-so or these people or whatever think of me. It doesn't matter as much. I want what God wants because my heart has changed. And all of a sudden, I won't be so concerned about me. And I won't be so concerned about whatever, and you can make the list, but I'll be concerned about others. And I'll be concerned about, and I shouldn't say all of a sudden, I know God keeps working and He's still working in my heart. But as we are filled with the Holy Ghost and there's a baptism of the Holy Ghost and a fire in our lives, what happens is this old heart begins to change and change and it's molded. And God, because God is promising, I will, I will, I will. It's a glorious, glorious life to pursue Him and to pursue godliness. And as we pursue, watch God fill us. And put a little fire in there. And then watch that fire change me and change me. And I don't get a big bang out of driving my four-wheeler around anymore. Those are some things that happened in me. And we'll talk about some more of those. It changed me. I got a bang. Sorry, I don't mean to make light of it. But out of this, and out of godly men, and seeking God, and studying this, and all of a sudden I started seeing people walk past me, and they were souls, and what was happening? Was it me? Was it because I was doing the thou shalt and the thou shalt not? Okay, I was following God. And again, we'll look at some more of those principles later on in the week. But what was happening was, God, in His mercy, young people, He loves to reach down His hand and His Spirit. And He says, I'll give you a new heart if we keep going here. And I'll put my Spirit within you. And what does it say? I love that next phrase. Someone read it. What does that next phrase say? I will put my Spirit within you. A new heart also, verse 26, will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I'm sorry, let me continue. And I will take away your stony heart of your flesh. I referred to this, but didn't read it. And I will give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk. God will cause us to walk, young people. You know, I have some boys. And if I cause him to walk, I don't think it means before I go to work in the morning, I say, now make sure that you go up and fill the wood box, you know, or whatever it is. And I come home and say, now did you fill it? I think if I cause him to, that means I'm right there with him. He says he'll give us his Spirit, and I'll grab his shoulders and I'll say, son, go up here. Look, see that? Pick up that piece of wood. And we carry it over here and put it right over here. You know, I'm causing him. I'm driving him. I'm motivating him. I'm empowering him. Maybe even I'll pick it up and I'll help him carry the log as he picks it up. Why? Because that's the beauty of this new covenant. He wants to change us. Because he couldn't do it with who we were without being changed. Fault. It's glorious. And I'll cause you to walk. Skipping over a bunch here, it's okay. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people. You know that promised land that's flowing with milk and honey? That land that you had to fight to go in, and you were there, and you ruled, and then you were under, and you ruled, and you were under, and you fell, and you rose, and you fell, and you rose, and you were taken away to Egypt, and you were taken away to different places. That land, I'll take you back to that land. And you know what? You'll dwell there. You'll dwell. You'll live there. You'll live in this new covenant. Why? Because I will be doing it, God says. I'll do it. I will be doing it. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and increase it and lay no famine on you. And praise God, He'll also prosper us. And your life will prosper. And blossom with fruit. That's the beauty of this new covenant. He wants to change you. My question for you this morning, young people. Have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire? Not just one time. I'm not trying to promote a one-time fix-all thing. I'm not. But have you? That question the Apostle Paul asked some people, have you? Has there been a cleansing in your life and a changing of motivations and a changing of so many things? And do you need some more? I do. I need a continual refreshing, washing, cleansing, baptism of this fire, that this fire burns in my heart. I want you to look at the Old Covenant. Here's just a little picture, and I know illustrations fall apart, but look at this picture. And I'm not an artist, so please forgive me. We've got an incline. And on this incline, we have a wagon. And God says with the Old Covenant, God says, push this wagon up this incline. Push the wagon up the incline. Do this. Don't do that. Do this. Don't do that. Do this and don't do that. And it was hard work. And you know, some of them would start pushing. And they would go a few steps and they would start pushing. And they'd go a few more steps and they would start pushing. But after a while, they got tired. We read it through the Old Testament, life like this, right? They got tired, and I don't know, maybe they sat down on the wagon, and what do you think happened? Way faster than they were climbing. And it happened time and time again. And I like to give that as a picture of the Old Covenant. That's what's happening in the Old Covenant. Now I want us to look at the New Covenant. God says, the beauty of what God promises us here is He doesn't say, okay, now you don't have to do all these things. Skip it. Skip it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. That's not what He says. He says, my people, climb the hill. But He says this, I'm going to put an engine on your wagon. And if you keep fire in that motor, in that engine, and you keep following me, that engine, I will propel you up this hill, and I will guide you, and I will cause you, and you can climb up this hill, you'll be changed. But if you run out of gas, what's going to happen? It's still back down the hill. But this one works because I will. Because of this engine that He's willing to put on this wagon. And this engine that He's willing to put on there is the Spirit of God and it's fire. It's, some people call it in Christ. Some people call it Christ in you. Some people call it being indwelt. Some people call it life. Living in life. Apostle John called it life. Some people call it, and you could go on down. I even put a big list here. I think I just skipped over that list. Or maybe that's later on. I don't know. Lots of people have lots of different names, and they've tried to build this particular doctrine and the way it should be and the way it shouldn't be around this beautiful, beautiful principle of this new covenant. Young people, I'm not trying to push some particular theological stance on it. What I'm trying to push is this motor here. Do you have an engine on your life? Are you being propelled forward? Are you being motivated? Are you being changed? Old stony parts getting taken out and soft, moldable ones putting in. And I realize in some ways maybe I'm being a little general this morning. And I want to get a little more practical in the days to come. But young people, we must have this as a foundational principle. As you go forth from Bible school and you go into your days after here, you must realize that you can't and He can. And you must seek God and rely on this engine on your wagon to motivate you and carry you up this hill. Young people, have you been baptized with this fire lately? I'm seeking God for you and for myself, for a fresh baptism of the fire of God to stir my heart and motivate me and change me. Change my desires. Change myself. Change my flesh. That's what God promises to do. So that from the very core of your being, there will become a cry will begin to cry. And I trust for some of you it is this way. But there's a cry that comes from the very core of your being. As one, maybe 18th century preacher put it. He said, God, make me as holy as a pardoned sinner can be. God, make me as holy as a pardoned sinner can be. Did that come from an old heart that didn't have much influence from the Spirit of God? No, that came from a heart that the Spirit of God had taken an old stone out and had put a soft one in and had motivated it and had changed it and given it new desires and a new heart and new. You'll find if God begins to put this engine on your life and a fire starts burning, you'll find new desires coming up. And I've already mentioned, find desires for the Word, desires for prayer. You'll find a desire to do what's right. Yeah, the old flesh will kick and you'll be tempted, but you'll have the power to do it because there will be a new inner motivation that will change you. I remember thinking years ago, you go to Bible school and then you go away for a year and you come back and you meet some of the same people. And I remember thinking, you know, people don't change a whole lot. They're climbing, but I began to look at them like this. You know, people are, they're each on an incline, and we're all growing. If we stay in the faith, we're going to be growing, and we're going to have new I wills beginning to empower us and change us. It will happen. But as I watch people, I begin to realize and kind of marvel. The difference is not that they don't necessarily change or that they do change. The difference is the angle of their incline. When you see them year after year, some of them, their incline is, it's not real steep. Maybe some of them, it's even a little less. And every now and then, you meet some where it's steeper. And the incline of your life depends on how much God is working and you're allowing God to work and change and form and motivate and empower and impassion. So that, as I think was already mentioned this morning, the things of this life grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Young people, what's your angle? You know, where's your angle here? What angle do you see yourself changing? What angle do you see God being able to reach down in your life? How much fuel and power is going into this engine? I'm here to plead with you. Will you please, not only over Bible school, yes, over Bible school, go find a quarter and get on your knees and say, God, meet with me and work in me and change me. But young people, this to me is so foundational. It's so foundational. If we want to be godly, and we want God to change us, and I'm going to give some much more, many practical applications in the next 4 days. But this must be the foundation, because I can't do it and you can't do it. I'm going to read a verse in Luke 11:13. Go there if you want. Luke 11:13. I'm just going to read one simple verse. Most of you know the context and you know this verse. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? He will. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? I can look back at this and I'm trying to sit back and I'm trying to look at what I've shared so far and realize, okay, all right. We need the I wills going in our life. We must have an old heart taken out and a new heart put in. We must have an engine put on our wagon and all these different illustrations we're talking about here. But God, how do I get it to work in me? How do I get it to change me? Well, I want you to look at this verse. Look what he says. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Have you ever asked Him? I'm going to guess most of you have, at least a little bit. But have you ever really asked Him? In today's day and age, we are used to the push button age. We all talk about it, right? Microwave, beep, food gets hot, pull it out, eat it. Even these laser cutting machines, you push a button, a whole bunch of hard work's done, and you pull the steel out, and there you got the exact piece you want to the thousandth. It's just kind of push button and we get it. And so we read this verse and we say, okay, how much more shall Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Lord, I ask You to give me Your Holy Spirit. Done. Got it. All right. The I will is working in me. The motor on here. Steep incline. No, people, it doesn't work quite that way. It's not just a push button thing with God. Yes, ask Him. And you know, keep on asking Him. And keep on asking Him. And pursue Him. And keep on pursuing Him. And as we pursue, and as we ask, God comes and He changes. And young people, if you earnestly ask, there'll be a little fire that'll either ignite or it'll begin to burn brighter in your heart. Baptism of fire. And that little fire will burn brighter as you seek Him and as you pursue Him. It'll start flaming. It'll start burning. And you'll start to notice that you're changing. And sometimes it's kind of exciting just to step back, if you can, step back and look at yourself and realize, I'm different than I used to be. I don't like those things anymore, and I do like these things. The world doesn't have as much of a draw as it used to. Thank You, Lord. And I don't even like this. And these things that used to be so drawing me and pulling me, and it was hard to fight against them. I don't even want them anymore. Those things happen, young people. They happen. Why? Because there's been a fire lit, and you've been seeking God. And God starts giving you this little baptism of fire, and it starts flaming, and it starts burning, and it starts motivating, and it starts influencing, and it just burns in there. And if you don't put it out, it'll keep burning. And if you keep feeding it, it'll keep burning. And you keep seeking, it'll keep burning. And God will reach His hand down with all of His powerful I wills and say, I will change my brother this. And He reaches down and He changes. And He reaches over here and He pulls out a hard hunk. And you cry over it and you weep, but you rejoice because you know I want these I wills working in my life. And that flame just burns a little brighter. And then you get some problems come along your way. And if you take them with joy, as Brother Allen was sharing this morning, take them with joy and learn to walk with joy, the flame will just burn brighter. Young people, can you see the beauty of this new covenant as we walk with God? I will, I will, I will. He does a work that revolutionizes our lives. Has your life been revolutionized by the power of the Spirit of God? It can be. Whether it's sin you're struggling with, whether it's a hankering after the things of this world, whether it's a self-centeredness and you're concerned what people think of you and the way you look and the way you dress and the way you this and the way you that, He wants to change that. That's not godliness. It's not. And He wants to change it. And He will. He said so. He said He would. Maybe it's struggling relationships. Maybe it's struggling whatever. My dear brothers and sisters, it thrills my heart even as I stand here now. And it makes me want to look and say, all right, God, what's the next problem in my life? It can almost put a little bit of excitement in there, in my own heart. Yes, when God reveals something and it's wrong, I know the path of confession, repentance, and crying out, God, reach down your hand and with your big, powerful hand, reach down and change me. And it can almost cause, and I don't want to say it lightly, because I know trials are can be trials. But it can add a little bit of strength and readiness. Something's coming my way that I can count it all joy when I fall into diverse temptations. Do you think that's why James could say that? I wonder if it's not, because he knew. We fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let you know, and it goes on, and it's building, and it's growing. Young people, God wants to change you, to revolutionize you. There's a little phrase. Laura and I met with a couple a few years ago, and we had an evening with them, and we sat and we talked and we shared, and you know, we shared with the things of God, and our hearts were stirred, and I think their hearts were stirred. And as we left, we prayed together. As we left, I told them, I said, thank you. Thank you for being what A.W. Tozer called, for creating, what was it here? Children of the burning heart. A little phrase. Children of the burning heart. And I told them, thank you. As I sit here and we fellowship, Brother Allen, and we fellowship. I sense a burning heart coming from you. And it blesses my fire. And it fuels my fire. Thank you, I told him, for being a brother, a child of the burning heart. Are you a child of the burning heart? Have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire, and your life is changing, changing, changing? And remember, don't be discouraged. If you realize there's some need, be excited. Remember, I will. I will. I will. And remember this engine. He will, young people. He will if you'll let Him. If you ask Him. If you pursue Him. If I come to my Father and I ask Him, I say, will you please give me something? But I know for me to get that, I have to be willing to give up this. And so I ask and I ask and I ask, but I'm not willing to give up this. Do you think I'll get it? And that's just a simple illustration. I could go on and on to the contingencies
to the simplicity of this. I realize there are contingencies and there are other issues that come in, but young people, be of the fellowship of the burning heart. Be a child of the burning heart. And then some of the things I get to share with you the next 4 days, it'll feed that. It'll feed it. It'll empower you. If you find yourself here, take hope. Seek God. There's answers. God bless you all. Know that I'm praying that God will meet with me and with you and do a changing work. Stir up that fire in us. Please don't forget your homework.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.